If you hire a contractor to fix a leak in your roof, and then the very next day it rains heavily, you find out pretty quickly if they actually did a good job.
Right, yeah. Because water either comes pouring through the ceiling or it doesn't.
Exactly. I
Yeah.
mean, the rain is just an objective reality.
Yeah, the roof really doesn't care about the contractor's confidence or their excuses for that matter. The rain is just the ultimate impartial test of the work.
But imagine, though, if that same contractor didn't just fix the roof. Like, imagine if they also got to write the city inspection report themselves.
Oh, boy.
Right. And they sign off on their own building permit and officially grade their own craftsmanship.
That sounds like a terrible idea.
It really does. And then when you ask them, hey, is my living room going to flood? They just smile, hand you a piece of paper, and say, I have implemented the new shingles and verified they work perfectly.
Yeah, that is the exact moment you should probably start moving your expensive furniture out of the living room. Seriously. Because a confident assertion from the person who did the work is, well, it's absolutely not the same thing as a waterproof roof.
No, it's really not.
Welcome to today's deep dive. I'm so glad you are joining us because that dangerous gap, that tension between saying a job is done and actually proving it's done, is exactly what we are exploring for you today.
It's a huge issue right
It
now.
is. We are unpacking this fascinating piece of source material. It's an essay titled Let the Agent Prove It's Done, which is actually part seven of the Agentic AI Thoughts
A
series.
really insightful series, yeah.
Totally. And our mission today is to kind of cut through the hype and figure out how we can actually genuinely trust AI agents to write software for us.
Which is a critical mission, especially as we, hand over more and more of our digital infrastructure to these autonomous systems.
Right.
But the premise of this essay is incredibly counterintuitive.
How so?
Well, it argues that an AI agent's most dangerous output isn't actually bad code, which sounds completely crazy at first. I mean, if I'm letting an AI loose in my company's code base, a rogue agent writing terrible system crashing code feels like, the ultimate nightmare scenario.
You would think so, sure, but as the author points out, bad code is mostly just a non-event in a properly set up environment.
A non-event.
Yeah, think about the mechanics of it. If an AI writes objectively bad code, what happens? It fails the automated tests.
Right, the system catches it.
Exactly. A red light goes off, the build breaks, and literally nobody ever ships that code to customers.
So the system just works as intended.
Yes. The real danger, like the most dangerous output from an AI agent, is actually just a single word.
And that word is done.
Yeah. Specifically, bad code that arrives wrapped in this highly confident, perfectly articulate message saying, I've implemented the change and verified it works.
Wow. Okay, so it's the confidence that's the problem.
Because at that moment, the agent that wrote the code is acting as the inspector grading the code.
Like our roof contractor.
Yeah, precisely. And surprise, surprise, it grades generously. I mean, it wrote the logic believing the logic was correct.
Right.
So asking it to check its own work is basically just asking it to reconfirm the exact same belief it started with. It is essentially confirmation bias running on silicon.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because taking the verdict out of the AI's hands sounds great in theory, but I'm really struggling to see how you actually do that in practice.
It's definitely a challenge.
Right, like how do you actually strip an AI of its ability to declare a task finished?
Well, it requires a pretty fundamental shift in how we structure the work itself. We have to make done a verdict that the agent has to earn from the repository.
From the code base itself.
Yes, from the code base, rather than just a sentence it generates about itself. And to do that, the essay argues we actually have to start with the architecture of the code.
The architecture, so the shape of the code matters.
The shape of your code dictates exactly how much an agent can actually verify on its own.
So we're talking about making code inherently provable.
Yes, provable. The author makes this really sharp distinction between provable code and unprovable code, and they introduce the concept of a pure function.
Okay, what exactly is a pure function?
Let's define that. A pure function is basically a piece of code that takes some inputs, performs some logic, and then returns an output.
Simple enough.
But crucially, it has absolutely no connection to the outside world.
Wait, not at all.
None. It doesn't read from your computer's file system. It doesn't connect to a Wi-Fi network. It doesn't pull user data from a database.
Oh, wow.
It doesn't even check the system clock or, use a random number generator.
Okay, so it sounds like a basic mathematical equation. Like 2 plus 2 is always 4,
Only.
regardless of what time zone you're in or whether your database server is currently on fire.
That's a perfect way to look at it. And because it is completely isolated, a Pure function can be checked instantly.
Because there's no waiting for a network to respond.
Exactly. An AI agent can write a unit test for that specific logic, run the test, and watch it pass or fail in literal milliseconds.
That's incredibly fast.
Right. And it knows, with absolute certainty, if the code works. The author calls this the deterministic repair target.
Deterministic repair target. I like that.
Yeah, it provides this safe, contained sandbox where the agent can iterate, fail, and fix its own mistakes unsupervised. Because consulting the test costs nothing and requires no complex virtual environment.
But wait, here's where I have to push back a little bit. Because software isn't just a bunch of isolated math equations sitting in a void, right?
No, it's definitely not.
Modern software is incredibly messy, and it has to be interconnected to actually be useful.
Very true.
Like, let's say I'm building an e-commerce app. I need to pull inventory from a database. I have to talk to the Stripe API to actually process the user's credit card, and I need to update a web interface.
Right. Lots of moving parts.
So how does an agent handle all that real-world messiness if it only works well with Pure functions?
What's fascinating here is how the essay directly addresses that exact messy reality.
Oh, it does.
Yeah. The author describes what happens when you take a simple business rule. Let's use your e-commerce example. Say, calculating a 20% holiday discount for a loyal customer.
Okay, a 20% discount.
If you smear that calculation logic across a user interface component that is simultaneously fetching live data, reading the browser's local storage, opening a database transaction, and calling Stripe.
That sounds like a headache.
You've created an absolute nightmare for an AI agent.
Because to actually test if the 20% discount was applied correctly, the agent would suddenly need a fake web browser, right?
Yep, a fake browser, a populated test database, dummy API credentials for Stripe.
A simulated network connection just to see if the math worked.
Exactly, you're seeing the trap. The agent would need to provision a whole simulated world, which it usually cannot do inside its own rapid, unsupervised feedback loop.
So what happens then? Does it just give up?
Well, the agent takes the path of least resistance. It looks at the code diff it just wrote. It reads the logic, decides it looks highly plausible based on its training data, and then just declares the job done.
Wow. So just guesses.
Pretty much. The logic itself might not even be wrong, but the architecture of the code made it completely unverifiable. And unverifiable is exactly where false completion lives.
Ah, so the AI basically falls back to vibes. Just looks good to me. And we're right back to the danger of the confident narrator.
Exactly.
So the solution to this isn't to hope the AI gets smarter at guessing then. It's to physically change how we organize the code base.
That's the key.
The essay talks about a hexagonal shape or layering. What does that actually look like for a human developer?
Think of it as a strict quarantine system. The goal is to push all the messy inputs and outputs. Uh-huh. You know, the unpredictable network calls, the complex database queries, the third-party API.
All right, all the messy stuff.
Push all of that to the absolute outer edges of your application. You isolate them. And in the center, you maintain this pure core of business logic.
So in our e-commerce example, the core just takes two numbers, the cart total and the discount rate, and just spits out the final price.
Right.
It doesn't know what Stripe is. It doesn't know what a database is.
Exactly that. The author stresses that this isn't just about making the code look pretty or adhering to some, you know, academic design pattern.
It's functional.
It is literally a machine designed to maximize the fraction of your system that an agent can actually verify.
Oh, that makes so much sense.
By keeping the core pure, you hand the AI the largest possible surface area where it can be trusted to work unsupervised and prove its own success.
I see the logic, but that shifts a huge burden onto the architecture.
Yeah.
You're basically forcing the human developers to build this giant safe playground where the agent can run around and test everything instantly.
That's exactly what you're doing, yes.
While strictly restricting the dangerous, untestable edges. Okay, so if the architecture is fixed and the code is provable, the next problem becomes the testing itself.
Right, the actual execution of tests.
Because, let's say we have this beautiful pure core. In my experience, real-world code bases are sprawling and really complicated.
Oh, they are a mess.
Yeah, I've worked on projects where just knowing which test to run requires asking like three different senior developers.
Yep.
If an AI doesn't know those secret handshakes, how does it verify anything?
That phenomenon is what the tech industry calls tribal knowledge, and it is absolutely the bane of AI agents.
Tribal knowledge, right?
Think about onboarding a brand new human junior developer. They submit their first code change, and a senior developer leaves a comment saying, "Oh, I see you touched the CSS for the checkout button. You need to run the specific visual regression script located in this buried utility folder. Otherwise, the build will break in production."
Right. I've totally been that junior developer. And it takes a human weeks, sometimes months, to learn all those quirks and unwritten rules.
Now imagine an amnesiac AI agent facing that exact same tribal knowledge.
It would fail completely.
It fails completely. It doesn't know the unwritten rules,
yeah.
And it can't just tap a senior developer on the shoulder to ask.
So what does it do?
It skips steps.
Yeah.
It half runs the tests it does know about, or just hallucinates a passing result entirely.
That is terrifying.
To solve this, the essay introduces a necessary but radical constraint. You have to collapse verification into exactly one command.
Wait, just one single command for the entire repository?
One.
Like typing, I don't know, make verify or npm run verify into the terminal, and it just handles the rest.
Everything. That single command must run the type checkers, the linters that look for formatting errors, the unit tests for the pure core, the contract tests, the integration tests, the security vulnerability checks.
The whole gauntlet.
The entire gate set. And it must return a single, simple binary output. Pass or fail.
You know, that makes me think of modern airport security.
How so?
Well, decades ago, airport security was kind of a bit of tribal knowledge. You'd show a paper ticket to a gate agent here, maybe a security guard glanced at your carry-on bag over there, and then someone else checked your ID on a totally different floor.
Right. It was all over the place.
But today, you don't have separate lines for your shoes, your laptop, and your boarding pass scattered across the airport. That would be chaos for automation.
It would be impossible to manage.
You go through one centralized, unavoidable scanner. You're either cleared to go to your gate or you are not. There is no middle ground.
That is a great analogy.
And the author has this great hardline rule about this that I loved. They said, "Done is the exit code, not the feeling."
That rule is the bedrock of this entire philosophy. In software engineering, when a command line process runs successfully from start to finish without encountering any errors, it returns an internal signal called an exit code of zero.
An exit code of zero.
Yes. That zero is the undeniable mathematical proof of success. The author is saying that an AI agent doesn't get to formulate the sentence, "I've verified the change," unless it can literally paste the raw output of that single command showing the zero exit code.
So the claim that something works,
yeah,
and the objective evidence that it works must be the exact same artifact.
It removes all subjectivity.
That's huge.
The AI doesn't get to judge if a task is done based on how plausible its code looks. And honestly, the human developer doesn't get to judge if it's done based on a quick glance in the air.
Right.
Only that single verify command gets to make the call. It creates a highly precise, utterly boring definition of done. And when you are managing a fast, overconfident AI worker, boring and precise is the ultimate goal.
Okay, let's look at the practical implications of that, because this leads to another major hurdle.
Sure.
We've quarantined the messy code, so the agent has a pure core to test. We've forced all the testing through one single, unavoidable scanner. But what if the agent writes the code, runs that single verify command, gets the green exit code zero light? But the agent completely missed a massive blind spot.
Ah, you mean an error of omission.
Exactly. What if it forgot to write a test for the specific new feature it just added? Or it broke something subtle but didn't update the test suite to catch it?
That happens a lot.
Right. So all the old tests still pass, so the scanner says zero. Because the agent is the one who wrote the code, it's inherently biased by its own work. It's the classic grading your own exam problem.
You're hitting on the core issue that trips up a lot of AI implementations right now. Even a green verification check can hide a massive gap if the author didn't think to look for it.
Because just doesn't know what it doesn't know.
Right. The implementing agent is saturated with its own assumptions. It knows what it intended to do, so it tends to confirm its intentions rather than objectively analyzing the code it actually produced.
Well, wait, let me play devil's advocate for a second here.
Go for it.
The essay's solution here is to use a separate context, like a second AI verifier bot or a fresh testing environment, to judge the work.
Yes.
But if we use a second AI to review the first AI's code, won't the second AI just have the exact same AI-ish blind spots?
That's a fair question.
Like, they are built on the same underlying neural networks, likely from the same tech companies. Why would a second bot be any better at spotting the flaw than the first?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it's actually not about the type of intelligence doing the checking at all.
Well, it's not.
No, it is entirely about the context of the intelligence. The essay argues strongly that the generating mind and the verifying mind cannot be the same mind.
Okay, I'm following.
When a fresh CI that's continuous integration checkout runs or a separate review bot steps in, it has absolutely no memory of the implementation process.
Oh, I see. It doesn't have the emotional baggage of writing the code.
Precisely. It doesn't know the struggles the first AI went through to get a stubborn function to compile. It doesn't know the architectural trade-offs the first AI internally debated before settling on a solution.
Completely attached.
Right. It has no idea what the author meant to do. It can only ruthlessly judge the raw code that is actually sitting in front of it.
Wow.
It notices the file that didn't get rerun or the edge case that was conveniently ignored to save time. The author of the code is inherently the worst possible judge of whether they are done.
Because the author has a narrative running in their head. The essay calls it the confident narrator, right?
Yes, the confident narrator.
When the same AI writes the code and approves the code, you don't actually have verification. You just have a really articulate, grammatically perfect story about why the code should work.
Exactly.
By bringing in a fresh mind, even if it's another AI, you just shatter that narrative. It's just cold, hard code review.
And the author believes the separation of duties is one of the most underrated ideas of the whole agentic era. Yes. The question of who reviews the AI's code is the pivot point that decides whether any of this AI automation actually scales to enterprise levels. You absolutely must separate the context that writes from the context that judges.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. Because everything we've talked about so far, the pure core, the single command, the fresh reviewer, kind of assumes the AI is doing a quick task in one sitting.
It's a quick turnaround, yeah.
Like a surgical strike.
Yeah.
But real-world engineering work like migrating a legacy database or doing a massive system refactor takes days. And AI agents have notoriously terrible memories.
They do. They really do. And this is where the system often breaks down in practice. Agents lose their memory entirely between sessions.
Just totally gone.
But even worse, within a single long session, their context window gets full. When a language model processes too much information, it triggers a system behavior called context compaction.
Context compaction. Let me guess. That's a highly technical way of saying the AI takes all its detailed, nuanced memories and aggressively squishes them into a really brief, lossy summary so it doesn't run out of processing power.
That is exactly what happens.
I knew it.
The attention mechanism of the model literally starts dropping older tokens. The early reasoning, the specific details of a test it ran 3 hours ago, the nuance of a bug it already solved. All of that gets summarized away to make room for new incoming information.
That sounds dangerous.
Now think about the danger here. If your evidence of what is done and what is verified lives only in the agent's volatile compacting memory, it evaporates.
Oh, wow.
Exactly when a multi-day project needs that proof the most, the AI simply forgets it.
It makes me think of an explorer trying to map a massive underground cave system.
Okay, I like this.
If they just rely on their memory of which tunnels they've already walked down and which caverns they've cleared, they're going to end up walking in circles for days. Their memory will just fail them in the dark.
They'd be completely lost.
Right. They have to leave physical markers.
Yeah.
They have to snap glow sticks and drop them on the ground or tie ropes to the walls so when they come back to a junction, they can look at the physical environment and say, I have objective proof I've already explored that path.
A fantastic analogy. And in the software world, those glow sticks and ropes take the form of ledgers written directly into the repository itself.
Ledgers.
The author explains that the fix for amnesiac AI is to write the proof into the code base where it persists permanently. The agent must maintain a small set of files as it works.
What do those ledgers actually look like? Are we talking about complex databases that the AI has to update?
No, it's usually much simpler than that. It's often just markdown files sitting in the root of the project.
Just simple text files.
Exactly. Like a progress.md file that states the current checkpoint and what specifically needs to happen next. Or a decisions.md file documenting architectural choices.
So it doesn't forget why it did something.
Right, so the agent doesn't wake up the next day, forget why it chose a certain database structure, and literally start arguing with its past self about a trade-off.
No relitigating the past. Once a decision is made, it's written in stone or marked down, as it were.
And most importantly, an evidence file. And the non-negotiable rule for this evidence ledger is that it must contain proof, not plausibility.
Okay, define the difference there.
It cannot be a bullet point summary generated by the AI saying, I ran the test suite and all the tests passed.
So, I believe this works is not a valid entry.
Not at all. It has to be the actual pasted command line output of the green passing run. It must be the literal text of a check that exited zero.
You have to paste the receipts.
You'd have to paste the receipts. Because the ultimate goal here is that a completely cold verification pass, whether that's a human coming back from a two-week vacation or a brand new AI agent spun up from scratch to review the project, needs to be able to reconstruct the concept of done just by reading the repository file.
Without asking anyone.
Exactly. They shouldn't have to trust anyone's memory of the conversation. The evidence is baked into the rocks of the cave.
So what does this all mean? When we step back and look at these layers together, building a pure core to make code provable, collapsing verification into a single undeniable command, separating the writer from the judge to eliminate the confident narrator, and forcing the AI to leave physical ledgers of evidence to survive its own amnesia. What is the ultimate takeaway from all this source material?
The author synthesizes this beautifully at the end of the essay. When you view these strategies together, you realize they aren't four separate ideas.
They aren't.
No, they're actually just one single philosophy applied in different ways. And that philosophy is take the verdict away from the model.
Strip the AI of its authority to say, I'm finished.
Every single step we've discussed is a deliberate transfer of authority. We are transferring authority away from the confident narrator inside the AI model and giving it to a deterministic, inflexible mathematical check outside of it.
Because it can't be trusted to grade itself.
Because the hard truth is, a large language model's confidence is completely uncorrelated with its correctness. And the author argues it always will be, no matter how advanced or massive the models get in the future.
Because at their core, they are prediction engines. They are mathematically designed to sound plausible, articulate, and helpful.
Right.
Sounding confident isn't a bug. It is a fundamental feature of the algorithm trying to satisfy the prompt.
That's the reality of the technology. And the essay points out a necessary shift in mindset that the entire tech industry really needs to adopt right now.
Which is what?
We need to stop treating the AI agent as a brilliant, infallible colleague whose judgment we inherently trust, and start treating it as a rented worker.
Rented worker.
Yes. It is an incredibly fast, highly literal, slightly amnesiac, and wildly overconfident worker.
Yeah.
Our job is not to figure out how to make this worker smarter. The giant AI labs are doing that on their own schedule.
Our job is to build the factory floor.
Yes. Our job is to build the substrate. The harness around the agent, the architectural gates, the pure cores, the ledgers. We have to build the system that automatically catches what the overconfident worker inevitably misses.
That makes total sense.
The agents will keep getting better at writing code, but we have to get much, much better at building the things that decide if the code is actually right. And we must guarantee that the thing deciding if the code is right is never the agent's own opinion of itself.
For you, the listener, the application of this goes far beyond just software engineering. Whether you are managing a team of developers using AI copilots or building complex automated workflows yourself, or honestly, even if you're just using ChatGPT to draft a critical email or summarize a legal contract.
It applies everywhere.
It really does.
Yeah.
You have to remember that the AI's confidence is an illusion. It is a feature of the interface, not a guarantee of truth. You must always be the one to design the system, the verify command, the double check, the external proof that decides if the work is actually correct. Never let the agent prove it's done just by saying so. Make it show you the receipts.
You know, this raises an important question, though, one that isn't explicitly stated in the text, but it's where my mind immediately goes after unpacking all of this.
Oh, well, what's that?
If we are spending all this time and engineering energy building these perfect, bulletproof harnesses to verify machine work, because we know we can't trust the machine's self-assessment and confident narrative, will we eventually realize that human engineers actually need these exact same strict guardrails?
Oh, wow. That's a heavy thought.
Think about the parallels. Humans suffer from massive confirmation bias.
We definitely do.
Humans grade their own exams generously when they're rushing to meet a deadline. Humans forget what they were doing after a long weekend and rely on bad memory instead of writing things down in a ledger. Perhaps AI isn't just a new tool. Perhaps it is the forcing function, the mirror held up to our own messy tribal processes, that will finally force us to fix how humans work together.
We've always been the contractor slapping on the shingles and saying, trust me, it won't leak. We just finally hired an AI that does it even faster, forcing us to actually invent. the building inspector. What an incredible paradigm shift. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Go out there, build your pure cores, demand the exit code zero, and never let the confident narrator win. We'll catch you on the next deep dive.